Knock, knock. Abby. Abby New Year. Have you heard that one? I hadn't heard that one before. I thought I'd... So, this morning, we, during the service, we considered new beginnings. We're going to continue that this evening. And also, you might recognize this slide. If any of you were out this morning, you would have seen this slide as well. Be wise, be strong, be glad, be joyful, be merciful, be kind, be content. There's nothing else I have to say. Just if we follow that, we'll be okay. And Glenn actually gave out little bees this morning to remind us through you, take a bee and stick it somewhere. Glenn's actually got a handful left over. So for any of you who went out this morning, rush on over to Glenn at the end of the service. I'm sure he'll be able to give you one. So this time of year, we're getting ready for the new year. Some of us have been back to work already. Others have, like myself, only going back tomorrow. It's actually been a good time of the year to have some time off. A lot of our customers and clients, they're also on holiday as well. So it's probably the best time of the year to have some holiday. It's a good time to spend some time reflecting. I certainly don't do enough reflecting during the year, just too busy being busy. But yeah, let's take some time to reflect on how successful would we consider last year to be. Yes, it's 2019, but there are some lessons that we probably learned in 2019. There'll be some things that we're only too happy to leave behind. There'll be some things that actually we learned, some things that we should carry through with us. Did we do all that we were meant to do? Were we everything that God wants us to be? Were we effective? As parents, were we loving and nurturing our children? As children, were we honoring our parents? As friends, were we lifting each other up? Were we doing all the right things? Were we always happy? I don't see too many nods going on. So if not, we've obviously got some work to do in 2020. Do we have 2020 vision? Do we have a vision for 2020? There's going to be so many good puns this year on 2020 vision. I can't wait to see them. So 2019 was last year, but we can't change what's behind us. But and there's also no point in us dragging any guilt through from. If we did something not to best of our ability and to God's glory, there's no point in us beating ourselves up about it and dragging guilt through. But the areas that we have fallen short on, we need to try and see what we can improve on. What do we need to try and get hold of in 2020? I was planning on quitting so many of my bad habits, but nobody likes a quitter, so. God wants more for us than we do for ourselves. That's a very powerful statement. And there's some thoughts and lessons that we learn here as we were looking at the characters of Christmas, the lead up to Christmas and on Christmas Day. And obviously I was preparing for this evening, and some of those thoughts jumped out at me. I want to share some of those with you now. The interesting thing, Glenn did a survey just before heading into these characters, and we were all asked to vote for our favorite character or the character of Christmas that springs out to us. And it was interesting that the donkey got more votes than Joseph did. I was traveling away a lot last year. Did we get to do a sermon on the donkey? Would I miss that? So what can we learn from Mary and Joseph? What he promised Mary and Joseph miraculously came to pass. And there's so many promises that we have that we need to get hold of. God spoke to Mary and Joseph in different ways. He spoke to Mary through an angel. He spoke to Joseph through a dream, and the Lord can speak to us in different ways. He can speak to us through the scriptures, with the help of the Holy Spirit, through creation, maybe even through friends or people that we trust, and also through circumstances. And God will for sure be talking to us this year. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we ready to listen? God always keeps his promises. He kept his promise to Mary and Joseph. And he didn't do that because we deserve it, but he does it for us if we live in his favor. On a cycle this morning, we obviously weren't cycling hard enough because we were managing to chat a little bit with the other guys, and one of the guys said, oh, he went back to work on Thursday afternoon. And he was astounded as to how many emails were there in his inbox. A lot of them he didn't care too much for, deleted them. Most of them weren't even for him. They were meant for somebody else, and he was just CC'd in. On that, I guess some of us have got that luxury. Tomorrow when we go to work, we're going to go back to a mountain of emails. How did Joseph and Mary respond when they heard the news? How do we respond to his calling on our lives? Do we say yes and put into action, or do we just file in our inbox or just delete before we even read them? That's a challenge there for us tomorrow when we look at our emails. On to Herod. What is one of the first things that he did after he heard the news that Jesus, King of the Jews, was going to be born? I didn't know this actually. I've heard this story so many times, but the fact that he turned to the scriptures after he had panicked and after he must have been a bit in turmoil, realizing that this is a good opportunity for him to be dethroned, he turned to the scriptures. We shouldn't only turn to the scriptures, to the Lord, when things don't go the way that we want them to go. We need to remain or get into the habit of reading his word every day. Glenn, a handful of times, has suggested to us over the last couple of weeks that we should try something new and fresh this year, which, if you consider last year to be successful, that you were growing closer to God every day, then carry on. And if that isn't true for you, then definitely consider a new approach. For New Year's Eve, as the South Africans, we don't need too much of an excuse to start a fire. Maybe even put some meat on there and burn the meat. And for New Year's Eve, there was a fire and barbecue. Two of these things were going, and I noticed that the fire was going out, and we were enjoying standing outside. It was still a little bit chilly, but standing by the heat of the fire was brilliant. And the fire was going out, and one of the guys stuck his oar in there. You stick something else in a fire, obviously. And suddenly the fire went going. I thought he must have thrown some extra fuel on there, and all he had done was just move the log around. And I thought, well, actually, maybe that's something that we just need to do. Maybe we just need to, in our lives, just move some priorities around. We don't have to throw a whole lot of extra fuel on there. If we just move things around in life, put what's important up front. So the question for us is, what are we going to do better or differently this year if last year wasn't as good as it could have been? For this year, for me, has been really successful. So for all 5 days worth of it, I've started a reading program, reading through the Bible in a year. And the system that I've started, I've had it on my smartphone for a few years. And so I've into it 5 days. It's brilliant the way it brings some Old Testament verses, some New Testament verses, some Psalms. And it makes it really easy to get through. And a friend of mine, I was chatting to him over Christmas, and he had splashed out £1.50 on a book from Amazon, which does a couple of chapters every day. He's a more of an old school kind of guy. He likes a piece of paper in his hands with a pen, and he can scribble on it, and that's what he's That's what he's doing. And so I thought, I wonder what that book was. And I did a search on Amazon, and there were too many choices. I was amazed at how many Getting Through the Bible in a Day help books there were actually on Amazon. When I was doing the research, I came across a letter that I want to read to you. I don't know if any of you have heard of John Piper. He's a Baptist minister in the U.S., and he received a letter, and the letter went, "Hello, Pastor John. I've been blessed by your ministry for years. In the year ahead, I hope to read my Bible from cover to cover for the very first time. I feel a little excited and a lot intimidated, enormously unprepared for the year ahead. I've never done anything like this before. What's your advice for me, and what obstacles must I expect to overcome to pull this off?" So John's response to this was, "Well, amen, and praise God for what you're resolving to do. Just an hour and a half ago, I was reading my discipleship journal reading plan, and I've been on the system for 20 or 25 years. You should be excited, and yes, you should be intimidated. You are in significant ways unprepared. Me too. That's why we're reading. Paul said it's all inspired precisely to make us prepared, that the man of God may be complete. He may be equipped, or we could say prepared for every good work, including Bible reading. You have to read to get prepared to read, right? It's okay to be intimidated by reading the Bible. Bible reading is intimidating. What should you expect? Let me give you 3 negatives to scare you off and 9 positives to suck you back in. Expect opposition. Satan hates the Word of God and will discipline you, blind you, distract you, bore you. He will fight with all his might to keep this from happening. So pray and fight and ask God to make all 4 of these things that Satan tries to do backfire, to blow up in his face, as you may become stronger warrior against him. Ask God to keep your heart inclined, remove your blindness, grant you focus instead of distraction, and give you excitement instead of boredom. But you can expect opposition. Expect to be shocked. The outrage of sin and its graphic descriptions and the horrors of God's judgments and failures of God's people are appalling in the Bible. The Bible is stunningly graphic in its description, both of our outrageous sin and God's breathtaking judgment on sin. You may even want to throw up if you have any kind of sympathetic engagement with the Bible at times when you see what God ordains against sin in this world. So expect your views of man and God to be blown up in a good way. Shocked. Expect to be confused. And you can expect this for 3 reasons. God conceals many things that we'd like to know. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words." So they are blessing. So there are things that you are not going to want to know. And God says, "Nope, that's my business, not yours." What he has revealed is often hard to understand. Peter says, flat out in Peter 2, verse 16. As Paul does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do to other scriptures. There are some things that Paul's letters are hard to understand, things that we should not expect to find easy. So we are going to be confused at times. And the 3rd reason you're going to be confused is that Christ has given teachers to the church. In the New Testament, he didn't just give a Bible and say, "Now we don't need any teachers because we've got the Bible. Yes, we've got the Holy Spirit, so no human being needs to be teachers in the church." He didn't say that, did he? He said in every church there should be elders. Those elders should be apt to teach, which means people need explanations for what they see in the Bible. And teachers are called to figure things out and help others. So unless you're one of those teachers and unless you're a God, you're going to run into confusing things in the Bible. Those are the negatives, and here are some positives. Expect your faith to be deepened and strengthened, because Romans 10 verse 17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Or almost the same Expect your hope in God to be made more unshakable, because Romans 15 verse 4 says, everything in the Bible is written for your hope. Expect God to do serious liberating work in your life, because Jesus said, you will know the truth. When you read my Bible, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Expect new power in war with Satan, because that's the way Jesus defeated him in the wilderness. He quoted scripture to the devil, and the devil could not stand before it. He won't stand before you either. He's a liar, he's a deceiver, and he can't abide by the truth. You're filling your head up with the truth. You're going to be valiant warrior more than you dreamed against Satan. Expect a deep and sanctifying work in your life, because John 17 verse 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Expect to become more of a loving person to those around you, because Paul in Philippians verse 1-9 says, love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. And he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, the goal of his instruction, that is the goal of the Bible, is love from a pure heart. So unifying love for people growing in your heart as you immerse yourself in the whole sweep of Scripture. Expect that even though you are now saved in a decisive way, you're going to be saved, you're going to continue being saved by the Scriptures. Most people don't think of it like this. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 16 says, keep a close watch on yourself and on teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. The Bible is a means of God by which He goes on saving us. Expect great joy, unshakable joy, that the world doesn't know. Because Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So send the roots of your mind and your heart down into the whole Bible, and your joy will become indestructible. Expect to meet God. You will meet God, not just truths about God. Expect to meet God, because it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord appeared again to Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. He revealed himself by the word, and he does that. Expect to meet him. Expect to see the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Now, how do we know that that happens in the Bible? Because if you follow the flow from Paul's thought from chapter 3, verse 18 through to chapter 4 and verse 4, he refers to how we see the glory of Christ. Namely, we see it in the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. And the gospel is the written narrative of the stories or events and their meaning of the death and resurrection of Christ. So on this app that I've got on the phone, there's also a devotional section on there, which is a really helpful reminder for whenever we're going to sit down and read His word, we should ask God to connect with us. It's not just an academic exercise. It's not like we're just trying to trundle through every chapter just so that we can say that we've done it. We should read the passages slowly, maybe even more than once if we can't get our head around things. And we need to reflect on what grabs us and how God may be speaking to us through the passages. We need to speak directly to God in prayer what is on our heart and mind, and we should be thinking of ways of how we can share this wonderful truth with others around us. Maybe you have questions that pop into your head while you're going through it, or even on a Sunday morning. Don't just leave it there. Grapple with it. Have a chat with whoever's preached, or go home and study that passage. Get a clearer view of the things of the Lord that you don't understand. Can I encourage us all to grow closer to the Lord every day and spend time in His Word to help us understand what He wants for us? The good news is that if you haven't started a plan yet, you're only 5 days behind, so it's not too late for you to start. And the more time we spend reading His Word, the less time we will have to do things that actually we shouldn't be doing. Our daily prayer should be Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. January is often a month of new beginnings, and why we obviously call the services today New Beginnings. And the good news is that with Jesus, we don't have to wait for a new year. We can come to Him at any time to make a change in our life. What we don't want is some sort of weak optimism and sort of get going and then by the end of February have bombed out. How many gym memberships are taken out in January? Has anybody signed up to a gym? I did a search for this. 40% more internet searches on gym memberships in January than there are any other time of the year. 12% of the memberships are taken out in January. So there's quite a jump from 40% people searching to 12% actually becoming active and going and doing it. And by 22% of these people have stopped coming within 24 weeks. Isn't that just showing you how weak we are? There's even an old saying that the founders of Coleman's Mustard made more money by not what people ate, but by what they left behind on their plate. So by the time we get through to February, are we going to have a discouraging realism that we haven't made it again this year? We haven't fulfilled our resolutions that we might have made? Are we going back over the difficult ground where we started? Excitement isn't enough. The initial excitement we felt when we made our resolutions doesn't carry us over the difficult terrain. Why is this? Can I suggest? Because maybe we're trying to do it in our own strength. Enthusiasm is not a bad thing, but it's not enough. If it's kept in proper perspective, it's very helpful, and I believe God designed us to experience the feeling of excitement to encourage us to undertake a journey in the first place, and hopefully for a better and new direction. But He didn't design our excitement to carry us through the struggle. He intended us to follow through with prayerful determination, planning, discipline, all these hard words, perseverance, accountability, and endurance. The initial excitement and enthusiasm that we have helps us launch our journey, but if we make this mistake as this as being the same as resolving it, we shouldn't be surprised when our resolutions just seem to evaporate. The eager enthusiasm is a good thing as far as this goes, as long as we remember it doesn't go very far. No one who's been on a real adventure very long has sustained it by adrenaline rush of the initial excitement. We need something more. The reason why we need a bit more than excitement is because the transformation that we need, that God is aiming for, goes far deeper. It requires a lot more than what we could understand or expect at first. We may even see some encouraging start, like my first 5 days of the year. I'm really encouraged by that, but yeah, need to hang in there. I'm sure it's not going to remain as simple as it has been the last 5 days. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." This is probably the main reason why our resolutions, especially the worthy ones, are so hard to keep. Just like the disciples in the early days with Jesus, we also underestimate the weakness of our flesh. I used the word accountability in there. That's one of the scary things, and it's a good thing. Because I've shared with you my Bible reading plan, I'm expecting any of you to come back to me in a week's time, a month's time, 6 months' time. Feel free to come and ask me how I'm getting on. Having shared this plan with a good friend of mine, we'll be accountable to each other and we'll be egging each other on a little bit, and you know, and actually he's doing a different plan. It'll be interesting to see how they differ. I certainly don't want to be embarrassed when you come to me 2 weeks' time and say, "How are you getting on with that Bible plan?" I want to be able to say that I'm carrying on with that. I just want to take the time to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 to 11. "Consider him who enjoyed such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin,
You have not yet resisted the point of shedding your blood, and you have completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Unless the Lord disciplines us, we may tend to be motivated by our resolutions, by desire to be something greater than we are. What are our motives for trying up new resolutions? Even the disciples who were with Jesus fell into this trap. In Luke chapter 22, verse 24, it says that they broke out in an argument who was the greatest amongst each other, and that was with them rubbing shoulders with Jesus every day. Every good resolve requires the power of God, because the results he wants are bigger than we can produce. God wants far more for us than we typically want for ourselves. Jesus said, "The Spirit who gives life, the flesh is no help at all." That's from John chapter 6, verse 63. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection love." God didn't design us to be able to fulfill our resolutions on our own. The transformation we need most requires a wisdom far beyond what we already have, which is why Paul wrote to Thessalonica, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may be worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to you fruition your every desire or resolution for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ." So our desires need to be for resolutions that are for goodness, not for selfish gain. We need to pursue these healthy resolutions, whether it might even be weight loss, spiritual discipline. I know that I need to do some weight loss. I jumped on the scale just after Christmas and it said, "One at a time, please." It's a problem with having these intelligent devices. Yeah. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 reminds us that we should seek first his kingdom, and then everything else that we need will be given to us. Every work of faith requires the power and wisdom of God, because the outcomes God wants are bigger than we can achieve in our own strength. We have to depend on God for his help. If we try on our own strength, it'll just be futile. God set it up this way that so we'd experience the maximum joy from each outcome, and his glory would shine through. If we understand this from the outset, we can receive as God's gift the excitement we experience when we act in faith. But this is not a helium balloon that's going to just carry us over and float us over our difficult journey, or as the float us over the obstacles that will be in our way. There are substantial benefits if we realize when we continue the hardship and battle of pursuing worthwhile resolutions. Our faith increases, our love for the Lord and others expands. We learn endurance, and we realize true joy. So as we tackle our resolutions this year, let's not lose heart in pursuing them. Whether you're 10, 12, 17, 66, you can start over. There's many examples in the Bible where we can see people started over. Zacchaeus started over. He wasn't a spring chicken at the time. Peter started over. Even Apostle Paul started over. Lydia started over. All these great Bible characters started over. If we are alive, we can start over. Paul wrote to the Galatians. Again, he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us pray that the Lord will teach us today more of what this profound scripture really means. Help us to grapple with these truths. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your love to us. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that we received in 2019. Lord, we also more difficultly thank you for the difficulties that we had in 2019. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the way that it strengthened us and what we learned from you. We pray that we will be faithful to you for this year ahead, and not just this coming week or month. We ask for strength and wisdom as we tackle 2020. With the hurdles and obstacles that will surely come our way. Help us to remember that you are King of our lives. Whatever our journey this year, that you are walking with us. Help us to hear you. Help us to listen. Help us not to be too busy to not listen. Help us to put into action your will for our lives. Father, we ask that you'll help us not to get caught up in worries and concerns, especially things that we have little control over. Father, in your name, we have the victory. Help us to depend on you and not on our own strength. Help us to walk in confidence, having built our faith on you, our rock. Give us strength when we feel weak. Give us hope when we feel afraid. Give us guidance when we're not sure which way to go. We pray that you will do new things in our lives this week and this year. Please just help us, we pray, Lord, in our daily walk with you. Amen.